Thank the Lord. If you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. If you're on the live stream, turn to the book of Colossians, please. Chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. It's good to be out to God's house. I'd like to ask those that are listening by live stream to share the message. I wish the church house was full for this message tonight. But if there's a bunch of you on live stream, share it, because I want to preach it. I have noticed something during this pandemic. I've noticed something. There's one or two things going to happen during this pandemic. Folks are going to get closer to God, or they're going to fall away from God. And I don't want to upset y'all, but there's a whole bunch of people already got cold, indifferent. They could be here tonight. Now, there ain't no excuse tonight. There's plenty of room in here. He said, don't be harsh. Well, I'm just telling it like it is. Amen. But here's what's happened. I understand. It's real easy to set your pajamas and get your coffee and not fight a mask and not worry about a mask. Listen to me. Jesus died on the cross. I can wear a mask, okay? As long as they tell me. I don't want them, but hey, man. But what I'm noticing is folks are either getting close to God or they're drifting from God. Amen. Then the second thing I'm noticing, now, Chad said something Sunday morning. I don't know how many of you caught it, but I sure did. He said, we may have been locked down and locked up, but the devil ain't been locked down or locked up. And here's what else I'm seeing. See, this kind of pressure and this pandemic and this financial pressure is putting pressure on the home. Somebody help me. And here's what I, not only am I seeing Christians getting cold, lazy, apathetic, and indifferent, I'm seeing Christian homes dividing. They're letting the pressure of this event divide them. If we ever need mom and dad and our children on the right page, it's tonight. Our whole life is being shook, and we need to do right. Somebody help me preach. And I want to preach this tonight. Look at Colossians 3, and then I'm also going to take you over to Colossians 1 and lay the foundation for the passage tonight. But I want to read Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 18 through verse 21. The Bible says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Listen to this last statement. And be not bitter against them. Dear God, listen to that. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is the will. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Our Father, I ask you to help me preach like I've never preached before. I pray tonight that there's folks that have got cold, indifferent, apathetic, whose marriages are crumbling, whose lives are so cold tonight, that you'll move upon them tonight and they'll get a fresh touch of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. What I'm going to preach on tonight is this. When Christ is Lord of your home. When Christ is Lord of your home. Now, this whole book of Colossians is lifting up the preeminence of Jesus. Amen. The Lordship of Jesus. I want you all to know Jesus Christ, he is Lord. You say, well, but Preacher Smith, there's some that's trying to make him Lord to get saved. You can't do that, but you can call upon the Lord and get saved. Now, I want to lay a foundation. Will you flip back over to Colossians 1 for a moment? I want you to see something, four things, about the Lordship of Christ. I believe He's Lord. Do you? Look at Colossians 1, then I'm going to take you back. I want to lay a foundation. When we make Christ Lord in our home, He'll never be Lord in your home till you recognize Him as Lord indeed. Now look what the Bible said in Colossians 1. Are you there? I'm going to give you four things by way of introduction. The Bible said, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Somebody say amen. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Number one, write this down in your thought tonight. Jesus Christ is Lord of the cross, and He is our Savior. You don't get saved by water baptism. You don't get saved by being good. You don't get saved by church membership. You get saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who is the Lord of the cross. He delivered me from the power of Satan. I want you to know something. There's some people tonight that call the name of Jesus that are right in Satan's hands. I want you to know, when God saved me, He delivered me from him. Amen. Then He transferred me into the kingdom, into His kingdom. I'm not in the kingdom of darkness anymore. I'm in the kingdom of light. Somebody say amen. Amen. And verse 14, He redeemed us through His Son. You know what it means to be redeemed? I've been bought back with a price. The blood. Whoa. Then secondly, I want you to notice in verse 15 through 17, I'm going to read these verses to you to lay a foundation. The Bible said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him we were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Listen to this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. First of all, the Lord Jesus is Lord of the cross, He's Savior. Secondly, laying the foundation of His lordship, Jesus is the Lord of creation. He is Creator. You did not come from an amoeba. There's no such thing as a Big Bang theory. It was God that created the earth. And by the way, some of you outfit believes in the gap theory. You ought to get in your Bible and study, and you find out that ain't true either. Some knucklehead that I love handed me a book one time entitled The Gap Fact. Well, ain't no fact to it. It's fiction. I don't need to have some book to explain that God's creator. God created everything. Amen. Verse 15, He is Lord because of His reality. How many believe He's real tonight? Amen. Verse 15, He's real because of His sovereignty. He's real because of His creativity. He's real because of His priority. Thank God, Brother Michael, He's real because of His consistency. Boy, let me stop there for a minute. Hey, Ray, aren't you glad? Boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm running another rabbit, Ray. Aren't you glad the Lord is more consistent than some church members? Good preaching anyhow. Hey, ain't no time to turn your live stream off. You need to hear preaching. Am I preaching? I mean, glad He's more consistent than we are. I mean, glad He's on time with God. I mean, glad that He looked beyond your fault and saw your need. I mean, glad that He's real tonight. Yeah, he's first. Also, he's full. And also, he forgives. Then verse 21 through 23. Well, Lord, I want you to see this. Are y'all with me? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of the flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Jesus is the Lord of the cross, he's Savior. Jesus is the Lord of creation, he's Creator. Jesus is Lord of the church, he's Leader. And Jesus is Lord of the Christian, he is Master. Now let me ask you, how many of y'all believe he's Lord? Amen. Come on now, let's take a vote. How many of you believe he's Lord? Amen. Now with that in mind, he's Lord, Lewis. Kim, he Lord? Amen. Chad, he Lord? If he's Lord, shouldn't he be Lord in every area of our life? Amen. And in our text, go back to chapter 3. He ought to be Lord in our homes. Yes. Now, I want you to know, during this pandemic, I've had 4 funerals and 3 weddings. And I want to tell you, when I do a wedding, I take it seriously. And I've done thousands of them. And I want you to know something. It's not how much you pay for a wedding that's going to keep a wedding together and a marriage together. Somebody help me preach. I'll tell you what to keep a marriage together, and that's the Lordship of Jesus, and that he is Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, he established a home. But I wonder why so many homes are little hells. Boy, it's quiet in here now. He wants your home to be full. He wants your home to be blessed. He wants your home to be an example of the Lordship of Jesus. Let me give you 4 things right here in the text. Michael, you get married one of these days soon. She doesn't say yes, right? Okay. What happened? It'll happen. Let me give you 4 things. Right here, I'm just going down the scripture. Number 1, the deference or deference of the wives, or wives will yield to their husbands. Look what the Bible said. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Whoa, whoa. It didn't say submit yourself to somebody else's husband. I might as well just hit this. Wives, you are not to dress for somebody else. You are to dress for your man. Good preaching anyhow. I can't see what y'all look like because you got masks on. I'm hoping you're amen. Amen. See, wives will give their submission to their husband. Now listen to this. A lot of ignorant preachers have done this. They have tried to use this to say that men are superior. That's not what it's saying. No, what it's saying is that God has placed man in rank over the woman. In rank over the woman. Somebody help me. They didn't say he's smarter than the lady, because I know a lot of women smarter than their husbands. And one of them lives down there at 84. I don't even know my address. But you know who she is. She's a lot smarter than I am. She's not inferior to me, but she is in subjection to me because she knows God has put me into that order. And by the way, part of this verse, look at it. As it is fit in the Lord, Wives will give their submission to their husbands, and wives will give their adoration to the Lord. And I won't give you a dime for a marriage for a wife who doesn't put Christ first in her life. And if she puts Christ first in her life, she'll put her husband first in her life. And I'm going to say this. Every marital problem is a spiritual problem. It is spawned from the devil. Help me preach. Everyone, if a devil gets in your home, it's because you have let down personally, spiritually. And Jesus is not the Lord of your home. Amen. I think we need preaching like this. Number two. And I'll spend a little time here too. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. And look at this statement. And be not bitter against them. The devotion of the husbands. Or husbands, will you love your wife? Husbands, we need to provide the best for our wife. I want you to know something. I want my sweetie to get the best. And I want y'all to know, not to just the best of things. No, you hear me. I want her to get the best of me. Boy, you didn't get that, did you? You know, you could. I know a lot of people, when they get in trouble with their marriage, you know what they do? They go out and get their checkbook and try to pay them off. Quiet in here now. Let me buy them off. You know what your wife wants, husband, more than a bouquet of roses and a new dress or another diamond? She wants you. She wants your best. She wants you to give you what you got. Amen. Amen. I want you to know there's a time in my marriage, Lois, that I couldn't afford to get Marguerite anything. When I first come here, she went to Goodwill and got her clothes. She dressed good. She still does. But I want you to know something. I didn't have a lot to give her financially, but I did have myself, and I did have my passion. And I did love her. And I still love her 46 years later. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and Lord of her life. And when he is Lord, you can be happy and in love the first year. And 46 years later, you can still be in love. Now hear me out. Husbands, you need to avoid bitterness toward your wife. Now, I want you to know something. I know some husbands that are bitter toward their wife and jealous of their children. What's quiet in here now? I mean, just a little ugly, bitter attitude. And ugly. And jealous of their own children. I know some like that. They're teetering on disaster tonight. Because the husband's not loving his wife, he's bitter toward her. And bitter toward his kids. And jealous. Somebody help me preach. How many got kids in this room? How many love them? I love them, man. I ain't bitter toward them. I love them. I ain't jealous of my children. Hey, listen, you know what, God? He gave you give children so you can be fruitful and that you can raise them and that you can guide them. Good preaching, Reverend. Now, I know this is probably going to go over like a lead balloon. You know why some husbands are bitter toward their wife and don't give their best? Because they're selfish. What's quiet in here now? ain't nothing will destroy a home like somebody in the home being selfish. See, that's why we need the Lordship of Christ. Because, see, the Lord wasn't selfish. He came and gave his life for us. He died for us. Somebody help me preach. He was selfless, not selfish. Good preaching, Reverend. Y'all still with me? Bad thing about the mask, I can't tell how you're taking this. Thank you, brother. I need one of them every once in a while. See, here's where we're at. The Lord is so far away from so many homes. He's not the center. He's not the center. He's not the Lord. He's not supreme. Then number three, go right down the list with me. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children need to honor their parents. Obedient children will bless their earthly parents. I want to say this. My mom was 96 years old and a half when she died. And I know her death was a big relief to her because she had Alzheimer's and dementia. But I want y'all all to know this. I miss her. I even miss her when they're Alzheimer's because every time I go out to my mama, I always took her something out. You know why I took her? You know why I took her? Even when she didn't have a right mind, you know why I took her? I took her one of them, not them little things they got now, a honey bun about that big around. And I'd cut that thing up in four pieces. And I'd put it over to her, and she'd eat that honey bun. And she looked at me, and she called me all kind of names. I don't know if she knew my name. But every once in a while, she'd say, John David. She said, that's good. And we were supposed to split, but every time she ate three out of four. But I bless my mom. If you're in here and you're a teenager, I don't want you to utter out of your mouth this phrase, this new phrase of kids, whatever. I'll put my whatever fist down your throat. Whatever. That's not being respectful. Somebody help me. This ain't preached much in our day. You know what? Teenagers will and young people will be obedient to parents if they have Jesus as their Lord also. Somebody say amen. Good preaching. And obedient children will please their Heavenly Father. You know, when I was raised, even though my dad didn't do right at first, though I led him to Christ, I wanted to please him and mom. You know why I wanted to please him? And know why you should want to please God? It's because you ought to please God, then you want to please your parents. Amen. I always wanted to be happy with me. I want my mama to be happy with me. I want to be an obedient child. By the way, if I wasn't obedient, how many's ever heard of a hickory stick? About three of you. My mom used to run me under the bed with a hickory stick. Beat the fire out of me. They knew that today. That doesn't put her up on child abuse. But I respected that lady. God gave her a real big, long life. She's praying the night I got under conviction. And she's the reason I got saved. And children, children ought to obey their parents. It's not preached much. It's not taught in the public school. All they're teaching there is being a rebel. Boy, good preaching, Reverend. And lastly, am I doing all right, Chad? When Christ is Lord of your home, lastly, look at verse 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Listen to this. Parents should not unfairly demean their children. Now, I know some people whose kids are away from God tonight. And Craig, you know why they're away from God? I'm going to tell you why. It's because of daddy demeaned the children. Some of the daddies want their children to be something they're not. I remember one daddy demeaned his children by calling her fat and calling him fat. Just put them down. That shouldn't be in our language. Somebody help me preach. See, our kids are getting put down enough in school and enough in life that they don't need us to put them down too. Good preaching, Reverend. You know what the best thing you can do with your children is encourage them. Lift them up. Somebody help me preach. And then parents should not unwisely discourage their children. I don't remember, Lois, I do not ever remember my mother ever discouraging me. I don't. You might say you're naive and you're forgetful. She never discouraged me. She was always my fan. When I got called to preach, man, she's my fan. I was the only one could get her from being a Presbyterian to a Baptist, I'm going to tell you. See, do you know why your children want to spend more time in their room by themselves with headphones on and not around the table talking to you? It's because all they get from you is discouragement. And I'm not just talking to y'all in here. I'm talking to some of you out there. Now, I'm going to tell you. How many of you believe we ought to raise our kids in church? Yes. But let me ask you this question. How in God's name are you going to get a child to want to be in church that every time the preacher preaches, you go home and down him at the kitchen table? And discourage him. That ain't no wonder some of our kids, once they get 18, 19, get out of church because we discourage them. We need to encourage them and tell them the best place they can be is in the house of God. And the best man they can follow is the man of God. I'm done. I had this happen. This has been probably 25 years ago. I had a family come to this church. They came for a little while. And they left. And they left because they had a broken home and a messed up home. And that daddy and mama constantly discouraged one of their daughters. She eventually went to West Virginia State. And you know, up there they had that course, Origins, they call it Pluto Brain, you know, every school has, Marshall has it, WVU, just anti-God course. And this little girl was so discouraged that she came to my office one day. She used to be in the teen group, and she made this statement right across from me, tears running down her face. And she said this, "I don't even know if I believe in God anymore." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, and she just confessed it. She said, "My mom and dad are the biggest hypocrites in the world. And I'm just discouraged. And I don't even know if anybody loves me." I took her to a book I got in my library to help people whose faith is breaking down. And I read that book to her over several sessions. Then I told her, I said, Mom and Dad might not love you, but God loves you. And over about 8 weeks of counseling, I helped her get a restoration of her faith. She had become so discouraged because she's been so demeaned and she had no leadership in her life. She got to the place she didn't even believe there was a God. Shameful that we let our homes get to that place. Our kids don't even have a desire for God. When we put the Lord first in our homes. Bow your head with me. You on live stream, bow your head with me. How many of you just like for me to pray for your family and your home and your children? Just slip it up. God bless you. Maybe you just tonight, maybe there's not a thing wrong with your home, but maybe you ought to have a little appreciation, just come around the altar and thank God for your home. Amen? Stand with me. You there in live stream, how is it with you right now? You putting Christ first? Our Father, folks are coming, praying for the children, praying for one another. God, I pray that we'll restore the lordship of Christ in our lives. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Will you come?